Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, a magnificent Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We have finally done it. We've made it to the end of the week. The weekend is upon us. Life is grand. And here's what we have on tap for tonight. We're going to discuss consequences. We're going to focus really on your questions tonight. California fire mismanagement. Someone wants to talk about why we got into Vietnam. Why does the right suddenly like John Fetterman? We're going to talk about the addiction of immigration. Somebody is angry at Trump for yucking it up with Barack Obama during the funeral. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin here. And this is going to be very, very direct, as it normally is with me, but this is where we're going to begin. Consequences. Consequences of your daily life. The little things you do that add up into being big things. So let's do it this way. Let's say I signed up to run a marathon. I'm never going to sign up to run a marathon, don't worry. But let's say I signed up to run a marathon. And instead of training for this marathon that is year out, I never do any cardio. I never do anything at all. I sit around. I stuff my face. No workouts. No nothing. And then I show up on race day and I suffer as I would running that marathon. The performance you or me, I guess we're talking about me, the performance of me during that marathon will not be determined on race day. The performance is determined all the days leading up to race day. Race day simply reveals how I've lived my life for the past year. If my life for the past year has been workouts, good night's sleep, plenty of protein, drinking your water, that will be revealed on race day. If my year is meat lovers, pizzas, and a 20-pack of beer every single night, that will be revealed on race day. If I even live to race day with that many beers in a day, even still, you understand what I'm saying. All around us right now, we see devastation, shocking devastation. Obviously, everyone's focused right now on the fires in LA and what those poor people are going through, and you've lost it all, and neighborhoods are gone. But it goes way, way, way beyond that. What we have to do, not so we can rub it in people's faces, not so we can do beat ourselves up over it, what we must do now is have a hard talk about why we didn't perform on race day. And the hard talk of why we didn't perform on race day comes down to simply this. You voted for Democrats. And people die because of it. We don't have to dance around this. We don't have to die. I'm not really sure. No. If you vote for Democrats, people die. Those are the consequences of voting for Democrat. And if you vote Democrat long enough, eventually your state will be run exclusively by communists, top to bottom, and people will die. And people don't like, they don't like, none of us do. None of us like the consequences of our own decisions. Nobody likes that. No one likes to own that. Hey, why are you in a bad mood today at work? Well, it's certainly not because I stayed up till midnight drinking whiskey. No, it's not my fault. No, it is. That's a direct result. A direct result of your decision-making and the things you did. We like to divorce ourselves from that, especially people in these blue areas. I have lived in blue areas before. I know exactly how they think, exactly how they talk. They get together with friends. They get together with neighbors. And they brag about how Democrat they are. Ah, ha, ha, Republicans are stupid. Ah, ha, ha, which Democrat? I can't wait to see what Democrat. I voted Democrat. You voted Democrat, right? We all voted Democrat. Ha, ha, ha. Look how nice and tolerant we are. Yeah, people are going to die. Real consequences. Part of the reason, even though I have used this word, I'm pointing fingers at me. Part of the reasons I hate the word woke, I really dislike it. Why? I don't think it properly conveys how sick and evil cultural Marxism is. It almost makes it sound like, oh gosh, he's this kind of goofy. Sounds like your daughter you mistakenly sent off to college. Okay, she's just kind of losing her mind and going a little liberal. There's really no big deal. No, 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 no. Woke kills people. Cultural Marxism kills people. We listen to things like this and we dismiss it. Obviously, the LA Fire Department is the more focus is on them right now. But the truth is, I don't even mean to single them out. This has taken place in fire department after police department, after corporation, after education system across the United States of America. If you went digging, you could find videos just like this.
I am super inspired.
She took time out of her already busy schedule to tell us about her vision for the department's future, one that includes a 3-year strategic plan to increase diversity.
People ask me, well, what number are you looking for? I said, I'm not looking for a number. It's never enough.
Out of 3,300 city firefighters, only 115 are women right now. She's already looking at ways to change that. She's quick to point out that doing so has a greater purpose, attracting the best and brightest for the job.
They feel included, they feel valued, and they feel part of a cohesive team.
The chief also checks another box when it comes to inclusivity and diversity at this department. She's a proud member of the LGBTQ community.
That just kind of opens the door of people that thought, wow, I didn't even know that that was an opportunity for me.
Here's the truth. Democrats hear stuff like that and they celebrate. Oh, that's wonderful. More lesbians. Woo! Republicans hear that and they say things like, that's ridiculous. Or how does this help fight fires? Maybe you've said something like that before. But the truth is things like that kill people. They do. When Boeing doesn't focus on hiring the best engineers, the finest people. When they focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion, people die. It kills people. And again, I'm not singling out the LA Fire Department at all. This is across the country. How many police departments out there? How many cops are listening to me? State troopers are listening to me right now who have watched their departments focus. We need to hire more women. And so now, when you have to go out on a call because some drunken lunatic with a machete is carving people up in a hotel, now, instead of some type A beast sitting right beside you, you have a 115-pound woman, if it's raining outside, and she's not only no help whatsoever in the situation, she's a liability. How many stories like that? It's not woke. It's not diversity. It's deadly. People die because of this. And the left loves it because they don't give a crap if people die. And the right won't fight against it because that wouldn't be nice. We want to be nice. I want to be tolerant. We've had way too much tolerance in this country and way too little discrimination. It's time to be pro-discrimination. I believe in discriminating. I would like a job as a firefighter. Great. Here's 50 pounds. Run up 5 flights of stairs, then come back down and fireman carry this 200-pound gentleman 100 yards. You can't do it? Too bad. Get your weak self out of here. We'll go find someone else who can do it. Discrimination. Instead, you get this crap.
You want to see somebody that responds to your house, your emergency, whether it's a medical call or a fire call, that looks like you. It gives that person a little bit more ease, knowing that somebody might understand their situation better. Is she strong enough to do this? Or, you couldn't carry my husband out of a fire, which my response is, he got himself in the wrong place if I have to carry him out of a fire.
My response is, he got himself in the wrong place. Ha ha ha, look how lazy woman I am. Ha ha ha, I'll show him. And people were screaming, but that involves, people will die because of that. She doesn't care. She's serving a higher calling, the demonic religion known as communism, Marxism, whatever word you want to put on it, cultural Marxism. That is her only God. That is the only thing she serves. That is the only thing she's interested in. And if you and everyone you love happen to die because of it, she wouldn't lose a minute of sleep. Her head will still stay firmly rested with that close crop haircut on her pillow. And that's because you vote Democrat. I know, you sound so good. All your friends were in Manhattan. Woo, cocktail party night. Hey, Bob, you voted Dem, right? I voted Dem. It's fun to vote Democrat. Congratulations, an illegal immigrant just burned a woman to death on the subway because of you. You did it. Stop voting Democrats. Stop killing people. All right, we're moving on. We're going to get on to other things, shall we, before we move on? You want to have the same blender I do? You should. Because my blender is called the Obliterator. What's your blender called? Does it even have a freaking name? Chefman has a blender. I've already told you about Chefman's IQ Sense, the thermometers you stick in the meat and leave in the meat. The Obliterator is their blender. It's won freaking awards. Ob, you know Ob, she won't leave things on the counter that don't look good. I'm forced to put the toaster in the pantry when I'm done with it. The Obliterator stays right on the counter. That's how good it looks. And you can go to Chefman.com and get one. You can go to Walmart and get one. They're freaking everywhere. There's a reason this thing's going like gangbusters. And get an IQ Sense to cook with. You will, I promise you will thank me for it. CHEFMAN.com. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an incredible Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show jesse@jessekellyshow.com or leave us a voicemail.
You're just another whining Republican idiot.
At 877-377-4373. Consequences. Joe Biden got up. Of course, he's destroying as much as he can possibly destroy on his way out the door. Got up, talk like this. Why did we end up with this insanity?
I'm proud that my administration is carrying out the boldest climate agenda in American history. We're doing it by setting ambitious goals, like deploying 30 gigawatts of offshore wind and conserve at least 30% of our...
Yeah, we got all that. I'm not going to play the whole thing. Why is your power bill through the roof? Consequences of voting for Democrats. The negligence of the citizen, and some citizens flat out vote for their own demise. You hear they arrested some guy with a blowtorch. Did you hear that this morning?
The incident occurred, started here, and about 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, a suspect was detained over in Woodland Hills area by citizens.
So someone purposely set the Kenneth fire?
At this time, that's what we believe, yes.
Do you know how or why they did that?
That I don't know.
Is this a crime scene right now?
Yes.
So everything's closed off?
It's being investigated as a crime.
He's already been released. Did you know that? How could they? He had a blowtorch right. How could they do that? That's what happens when you vote Democrat. When you vote Democrat, your city will slowly but surely move into a place where they view their role as protecting criminals. That's how Democrats look at life. Gavin Newsom's all over the news right now. Gavin Newsom had a little tele meeting. I guess it was a Zoom meeting or something like that with Biden and Dome in the Oval Office. Gavin Newsom, here's what he said.
I ask you, we've got to deal with this misinformation. There were hurricane force winds of mis and disinformation, lies. People want to divide this country, and we're going to have to address that as well. And it breaks my heart as people are suffering and struggling that we're up against those hurricane force forces as well.
Gavin Newsom, governor of California, gets on a Zoom call with the president. What's he want to do? We have to address the misinformation. People are trying to divide. What's he saying, of course? People are finally pointing out that places that are controlled by Democrats, states, counties, cities, are turning into third world hell holes. He doesn't want that pointed out. He wants it censored. He wants it stopped. How do we end up with a governor like this? Gavin Newsom's a disgrace. People voted for him over and over and over again in California, and these are the consequences of that. Consequences. You see them all over the place. Time to change some things. George, buongiorno, European Jesse, this guy says. Glad to hear you back. Do you think the horrible devastation and mismanagement of the California fires will finally derail Newsom's national political future? I don't see how he can run for POTUS in 2028 after this. Well, let's talk about that. Let's do a little 2028 Democrat talk here, as long as we're on the subject. This is a terrible fire. I keep wanting to call it a natural disaster, but everyone keeps saying it's arson, it's arson, it's arson. I don't know. And remember, there's several different locations of the fire. Maybe some was natural. Maybe someone flicked a cigarette out. Maybe some of it was done on purpose. I don't know. So calling it a natural disaster is not accurate, but I'll just refer to it as that. Property damage-wise, it's the largest one in the history of the United States of America already. Gavin Newsom's governor. Gavin Newsom has some bad statements already on camera, at least to my eye and to your eye. Is it going to cost him in 2028? I don't know. Democrats don't think like we think. I don't know. Democrats are insane. Many of them flat out demonic. How would I know that? Kamala Harris is not going to be able to get it done. Because she's not going to have the donor money. The big donors are sour on the fact she blew all that. You know Rear Admiral Pete is going to be stepping up. Speaking of blew all that, he's going to be stepping up big time. He's extremely ambitious. He's going to run. They're going to love him because he's gay. So there'll be that. Does Bernie Sanders make another run at it? I don't know. Gretchen Whitmer, Michigan. You can basically pull out your ink pen now. Gretchen Whitmer's going to run. I don't know if this kills Gavin Newsom's run. It's a primary, and it's a Democrat primary. I don't know that it does. Look, I don't know that there will be real consequences for Democrats in California after this. I suspect there might be. Like we talked about before, L.A., no, it didn't go red. I'm not saying that. But L.A. threw out their Soros prosecutor. Many blue places across the country have not done that. L.A. got sick and tired of the crime, and they tossed Gascon out of office. Maybe, just maybe, in L.A., there's going to be an awakening of what happens to paradise when you keep voting for Democrats. What, Chris? What? Chris is so skeptical. Chris, you shouldn't be cynical your whole life. You know, it's ugly. You're too young to be this cynical. But Chris may be right. The truth is he may be right. I don't know. We have to keep reminding people of those four magical words. You voted for this over and over and over again, so maybe they change. Hopefully you've already changed who you have your cell phone with. Because when you look at the activism of corporate America, when you turn on the TV and Verizon's got a new rainbow ad out there, are you paying Verizon every month? If so, you voted for this. You don't have to support a cell phone company who hates the country. AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, these are awful companies. Pure Talk, you know, they hire American citizens. Even customer service. When you get a hold of them, you don't have to speak to someone halfway around the world. I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. No more of that real, pleasant, English-speaking Americans. Isn't it nice to work with, to support a patriotic company? And you pay less. I pay half of what I used to pay. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Back to the emails. Jesse, I work for a local utility company in San Diego. We've been undergrounding power lines to prevent fires for years. Within the past month, Gavin Newsom went to the California Public Utilities Commission to have them try to lower customer bills. In turn, the commission told my company to stop undergrounding power lines since the cost was being charged to the customer. In a time when California is on fire, Newsom created another future fire hazard. You can look this decision up on Newsom's website. I have used a fake name and email for obvious reasons. The consequences of voting Democrat. Jesse, I grew up in the during the Vietnam War, joined the Marine Corps in 1979. Why did we go and fail in Vietnam? I heard Mobil and Chevron wanted to drill there. I also heard the CIA exported heroin from there. Why did we go there? Why did we go and fail? Okay, so let's talk Vietnam. Let's set aside our modern politics for a few and talk a little bit about Vietnam. Why did we go and fail there? Well, remember, first and foremost, on a 30,000-foot view thing, people in power, it is human nature, when you have any power at all, you want to use it. I've used the example before of a hammer. If I was to hand you a hammer, just a regular hammer, and you were walking around with it, you would hit something with it. It might just be your hand. You maybe be slapping it in your hand. But it is human nature. You have this tool. You want to do something with it. That's human nature, power. Now, expand that. You see people get in trouble with this all the time. I actually saw a story out about McDonald's. I think it was yesterday or the day before I saw this story, McDonald's, that some managers were getting themselves in trouble because if you wanted to earn some extra shifts at McDonald's, they were requiring more than just extra fries of some of the employees. Yeah, yeah, real one of these ugly scandal things. I'm not actually here to call out McDonald's because I love McDonald's, but again, you have a little bit more power. Here you are, you're managing McDonald's. You are in control. Who gets the hours? Who gets the shifts? It's just part of our sinful nature, our human nature, to want to use power, and oftentimes it's not for good. Now, I can't really relate to this, and you can't really relate to this, but let's get bigger than this. Let's go ahead and put you in charge of a nation. How many stories have we talked about, history stories on this show, of kings and monarchs and doing terrible, terrible things? Why? The stories of, let me think, Caligula is actually a good example of this. Caligula famously would have Roman senators and their wives come over to his home, and he would take the wife of a senator into the next room right beside where they were dining, and they would have a good time together in full earshot of the senator whose wife he just stole. And then he would come back and sit at the table and tell the senator about what they had just done. What? Why? Power. You get it and you want to use it. And the exact same thing applies to politicians, American presidents. You get in charge, commander in chief. Could you even imagine? I couldn't even wrap my mind around that level of power. You are the commander in chief. You have an army of Secret Service agents protecting you at all times. Well, kind of, at least they used to. But you used to have an army of Secret Service agents protecting you at all times. The entire United States military is under your command. You walk into a room with four-star generals and admirals, and they will spring to their feet and salute you and say, "Yes, sir, Mr. President, you are in charge. You are the chief executive. You have kings coming before you asking for favors from across the planet." Think about that level of power. And just like the hammer in your hands, or just like the cute fry cook at McDonald's, when you get that much power, you want to use it. The founding fathers, actually, and their children after them, talked about this so often. That's why George Washington, in his farewell address, warned America to stay out of foreign affairs, stay out of European wars. Why would he issue a warning like that? We were a young country. We weren't even in a place where militarily we could just go take, you know, just go land the troops on the beaches and things like that. We weren't really in that kind of a place as a country. Why would George Washington even think to issue a warning like that? Because he understood the intoxication that comes with power and the ability to have an army under your command. You want to use it. You want to do things with it. John Quincy Adams, obviously son of John Adams, he wrote something long. I don't have it in front of me. I'm doing this off the top of my head. But he was talking, he was warning about America's foreign policy. Obviously, this is only one generation after the founders, John Adams. And John Quincy Adams was talking about going abroad in search of monsters to slay. If you're a medieval knight, I just walked through this amazing army museum in Paris, and there was all this knight's armor, and it was sick. It was so freaking cool. And they had armor for the horses, and they had this special lion's armor you could put on. It was unbelievable. And you're looking and you're thinking to yourself, man, if I were to put on that suit of armor and my horse has armor on it, and I have a sword in my hand, I need to go find somebody to fight. It's human nature. What's that Game of Thrones line? It's an incredible line. There is a beast in every man, and it stirs when you put a sword in his hand. Power. Humans want to use it. It's human nature. It's a bad part of human nature. So you have a place like Vietnam. America was concerned, to put it mildly, about the spread of communism across the globe. In the post-World War II era, really when we wrapped up World War II, we screwed up so many things, allowing the Soviet Union to have so much control of so much territory. We just didn't, I mean, surprise, surprise, FDR, as he was fading away, because he was half a dirty commie himself, he was not nearly frightened enough of what Stalin and the Soviet Union could and would do if they were given more power. So the Soviet Union starts to spread communism as far and fast as they can. Again, communism was never supposed to be about a country. It was never supposed to be about Russia. It was always about the entire planet. Communism has to be for everybody. Has to be. They will force it on you even if you don't want it. It's part of their sick religion. And communism begins to spread and begins to spread and begins to spread. And then we have this situation in Vietnam, a country divided, North Vietnam and South Vietnam. South Vietnam, their government was hot, stinky, corrupt garbage. It was awful. But the North Vietnam, their government, they were communists. And they wanted to take South Vietnam. And we're sitting there, we have a big military, and I mean, we could step in, and maybe we just send some ships over there. Oh, what? There's an incident? Gulf of Tonkin? Guess we better send in 50,000 troops. That's how you get started. Now, let's talk about the failure of prosecuting that war, and then we'll move on to other things before we do that. Do you like history stuff? I just brought up the Romans. What if you could get an elite-level education on the rise and fall of the Roman Republic for free? What if an expert could just lay it all out for you free? You know Hillsdale College. I know you know Hillsdale College. Hillsdale's offering more than 40 free online courses. What about the Constitution? I wish I knew more. What about this? What about the challenges? Go learn about it for free. I can't stress this enough. There's no cost. It's interesting. It's freaking riveting is what it is. These classes are amazing. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. Take advantage of free. Get smarter for free. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm going to miss it. I'm sorry. I had to play it. I'm going to miss it. I feel like we have to replace it at some point in time because Dome is gone and I'm going to miss it. Anyway, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Back to Vietnam. So that was kind of the 30,000-foot view. People get in power. They want to use power. Now we go over there. I've talked about this many, many, many times. There are examples in the modern world, in the ancient world. How do you fight a war? What is the best way to fight a war? Morality. What role does morality take when you are fighting a war? For instance, Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan, the Mongolian society, had a much different view of morality than you have. Hopefully it's different than yours, different than mine. But human life, that kind of concept, just was not necessarily something they considered at all. It just was not important at all. All that mattered was power and strength and things like that. But their conquests were so insanely successful. Now, part of that's because they were such great fighters. They were so organized. They were so this, they were so that. But another part of it was the Mongols didn't do half conquest. Well, we need to fight this, but we better do it the right way. We have to do this the right way. That concept, they would have laughed in your face if you'd said something like that to Genghis Khan or any of his generals, anybody in their army. The right way is to win. So they would walk up to your city and they would simply inform you, you can come out right now and you could submit and pledge loyalty to the Khan. We will let you live. We'll let you keep your religion. You might have to send troops and things like that, but you can submit and you will live under the Khan. And if you do not, every single person in your city is going to die. The men, the women, the children, the Mongols killed the pets. The pets, your cats, your dogs. And not only would they kill everyone, they would understand people would hide. They would send a rear guard back 2 weeks later to discover anyone who happened to be hiding so they could make sure they'd killed everyone. And then they would take all of your skulls. This is a true story. They would take your skulls and they would make mountains of them in front of your city. A pyramid, a large one that you could see from the distance of skulls. That's what the Mongols would do. Is that right? Is it moral? I would venture to say no. Is it a very effective way to fight wars of conquest? Absolutely. But what's very, very difficult is to try to balance winning a war with some morality attached to it. Look what Israel is going through right now. Forget that right now. What has Israel been going through? How many years have you woken up and there was a news story about some Palestinian firing a rock in there and killing a little baby, some Palestinian knifing somebody, some Palestinian terror attack after terror attack after terror attack after terror attack? And people get mad at me when I say this, but the truth is a lot of that's Israel's fault. Why did you allow them to stay there? Because they were trying to do so. They were trying to make sure they had a good face on it internationally at the time they were reconquering Israel, which is what they did. And they didn't want to push things too far. Hey, well, let's let them have their little place there in Palestine. How'd that work out for you? Instead of taking every square inch of it. Didn't work out very well. Half conquest. In Vietnam, we stepped into a place that was not our own. We attempted to prop up an evil government. The South Vietnamese government was evil too. So we're attempting to prop up an evil, corrupt government. And then we start fighting the communists, the North Vietnamese. And our guys performed amazingly on the ground. Our troops were studs. Absolute studs. In fact, it was very, very quick that the Viet Cong in South Vietnam, they stopped fighting with our guys. They tried right off the bat to fight openly, and we just kept mopping them up, just crushing them. So that's why they went almost exclusively to guerrilla warfare. Because you're not going to square off against our guys. We'll smash you into nothing. But we weren't there to conquer. We didn't want to take over South Vietnam. We were there to kind of hold back the North and prop up the South. And hey, I want to do this delicate balancing act. But that doesn't work either. That doesn't work. You can't fight wars like that. Look what we just did in Afghanistan. 20 years there, pouring our blood and our treasure into Afghanistan. It's just as bad now, if not worse. 20 years of no conquest. We had our guys, our troops, guarding the poppy fields, the heroin fields of Afghanistan. We have Army Rangers who were not allowed to touch the Afghani men who were systematically raping Afghani boys. In fact, in many cases, they had to protect those men. We're building water wells for villages that never get used. 20 years of not just no conquest, we're just kind of there, but we're dying. Of course, we're getting shot, blown up, ambushed all over the place. 20 years of failure, and the result was nothing. That is why I have the most extreme on both sides of the equation views of foreign policy now. I have come to that conclusion in my 43 years on the planet. For the most part, I don't believe we should go anywhere, for the most part. stay in America, keep your troops, keep your treasure, keep your blood here in the United States of America. We don't need troops dying on foreign soil. Stay home, serve your country, get out, start a family, live your life. And my other extreme goal is if you do go somewhere, go take it. I mean that 100%. Don't tiptoe in there. We better make sure we want to be no better friend. Nope. If I have to go, if you make me show up, your place is about to be mine. Do you want to make me show up? Those are my views. Let's move on. Talk about John Fetterman and Mark Zuckerberg. Actually, Mark Zuckerberg said something today. I'm going to play it for you in a moment. Before we get to that, let's talk about our dogs. My dog is having a rough day. Fred is having a very rough day. Did anything happen? No, of course not. Fred doesn't need anything significant to happen to have a rough day. Ob took down the Christmas decorations. That meant a bunch of boxes. The boxes were there, and then she put them away, and now Fred thinks we're leaving because we just left on vacation. Now he's been curled up by the front door whining all day long. This is what we have to go through. It's like we are his emotional support at all times. This is the kind of dog I have. This is the kind of emotional maintenance I have. And it's why we sprinkle Rough Greens on his food, because it makes us laugh hysterically. We love that fluffy moron. Don't you love your dog? Your dog doesn't get nutrition from his food. Sprinkle Rough Greens, natural nutritional supplement, on your dog's food and let your dog live healthier and longer. I hope Fred lives so long. Call 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.